This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You're too high.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Where's Flem when we need him?
Yeah.
So high!
Totally.
So high!
Thank you, Flem. Thank you, Grandy. 888-957-9570. Who are you more confident in as far as a future contract extension? Brock Purdy or Jonathan Kuminga? They both need extensions here this offseason. We'll get back to the phones in a sec. I just thought I'd share this. This is pretty funny. This popped around on Instagram this morning. Did you hear that Southwest Airlines is going to start charging for bags?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Not until May, I believe.
Right. And you can beat that by becoming a member of their whatever badoopity dupe club or whatever the heck it is.
Yep.
But then you got to pay for that. So anyway.
Yeah. Likely $35 a bag. That's what the industry standard is.
Really?
Yep.
35?
I believe most airlines, yeah. That's what I was looking
at. Maybe I haven't been flying much lately.
Well, because I'm flying Southwest a week from today, and then about a week after that, down to a little bippity-bop with the family in San Diego. But that's going to do it for me in Southwest. If you're going to start charging for bags, then...
Why? All the other ones are, too.
So. Exactly. Well, that's what's made Southwest so special, is the fact that they've kind of been the people's airline, and you're not going to be anymore.
Did you see what they posted on Instagram earlier today?
I don't follow them, no.
Southwest Airlines, aware of the difficult PR week that they're having.
Backlash.
Simply wrote with a blue background, "It's not like we traded Luca."
Nice. That's pretty funny.
Well, Southwest also based in Dallas.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and Southwest has always had the tongue-in-cheek approach to marketing and advertising, and that's partly why I've loved the airline. But now you're going to be just like the other airlines, and I don't think that they're going to do open cabin seating anymore. They're going to start to do the like bougie pay extra for the first four rows.
I do like bougie. I enjoy bougie. Second floor at Splash. Bougie.
Yeah, but when it comes to an airplane, for me, you're all in the same airplane. So if you want to spend more money to be in front of a curtain, and I'm behind the curtain, and you spend an extra $600 round trip, go ahead. If this thing goes down, you die too.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, you'll have a better experience.
Maybe. Maybe.
There's class system stuff everywhere. It's kind of hard to avoid. Speaking of Splash and bougie, though, today's the day, okay? 5 o'clock hour on Thursday. It's another reason why it's the best day of the week. Every single week. 5 o'clock hour today, we're going to set you up for next Thursday. We're giving away the best seat in the house package for two at Splash at Thrive City, new sports bar right next to Chase Center, which is beautiful. The food's awesome. So this Thursday to set up next Thursday, March 20th, the first day of the college basketball championships. Best seat in the house includes prime location, second floor of Splash, bougie, overlooking their gigantic video board, showing the games, of course, but then here comes the food. You get two appetizers, four entrees, and a dessert. And all you need to know right now is that you need to be with us at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock will tell you exactly what you need to do to win. And then at that point, we'll be full steam ahead for the Warrior game tonight, which is a special one on multiple accounts. The Kings are in town. They're adorable. Steph Curry needs 2 3-pointers to become the first human being and potentially the last to hit 4,000 threes in the NBA in his career. And it also, of course, is the long-anticipated 31 games off return of Jonathan Kuminga, who is listed as probable. The Warriors are saying, look, we'll warm him up before we 100% announce him as in. But Steph said it yesterday. He's in. Jonathan's going to play. Don't know how much, but damn. Can't wait to find out. Can't wait to see what it looks like with Jimmy Butler on the floor.
Yeah, pretty exciting for all those things you mentioned. Rivalry game and Steph with a milestone, quote unquote. And I guess because it's a round number, it becomes a milestone. And I wonder if it's a stop the game milestone. Like, probably not when he hits his second three.
Yeah.
And he gets to 4,000. It'll be at the next stoppage, maybe you take the ball out of play and Draymond runs over and grabs it. And
yeah.
What I learned over the weekend is that Draymond is kind of the keeper of a lot of these, a lot of the memorabilia. He has a bunch of KD's memorabilia. He's got a bunch of Steph's. And I guess the thinking is that he's going to give it back to these guys when their careers are over. But that's why Draymond walked off with his 25,000th point ball, because that's what Draymond does. I guess he's the keeper of the stuff for the guys.
Well, and he's going to be a Hall of Fame player that doesn't really put up a lot of stats, so he doesn't get memorabilia and mementos.
True.
He's going to take somebody else's.
Yeah, and I wonder if he'll be the first ever Hall of Famer to not average double digits in points, rebounds, or assists. Because if you think about, like, Dennis Rodman's in the Hall of Fame, and I think that he averaged double digits in rebounds. Ben Wallace is also in the Hall of Fame, and I think that he has done the same. I wonder if there's ever been a basketball Hall of Famer who has not averaged double digits in points, rebounds, or assists.
Yep, and his career numbers are 8.7 points, 6.9 rebounds, and 5.6 assists.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And numbers are numbers, but numbers don't always tell the story of
definitely
a player.
Not.
And, you know, defense doesn't have a lot of numbers. And what he does on defense is incredible.
It's genius.
But it's not like he leads the league in blocks or steals.
No.
He just doesn't let people score.
He's just a conductor, man. Yeah, he runs the entire show. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call, guys.
Yeah.
I just want to say, man, I just want to answer a question. It's easy. I'm taking Jonathan Kuminga. So Jonathan Kuminga, he's got all the physical attributes. He just needs to get the mental side of things, and he's going to be an unbelievable player. Whereas Brock Purdy, our guy is never getting any taller anytime anymore. He's done growing, bro. I don't think he's 15 years old. So, hey, before I hang up, I just want to chime on this. I think I called up you guys sometime last year and says Parag wasn't allowed to do Parag things. I think I'm going to be right on that take. It seems like the way things unfolded, Jed let Kyle and John Lynch go Burger King mode and have it their way. I'm going to keep this player at all costs, keep that player at all costs. And they ended up winning only 6 games. So I think Jed and Parag is now going to do, you know what? Micromanage.
And Jonathan, thanks. If there's truth to that, and there might be, that's a problem. I think that's a huge problem. I still have tons of faith in Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and Parag Murate too, but that's like that's a different wing of the department.
Right. I don't think he makes personnel decisions.
Who, Jed?
No, Parag. Like, the personnel decisions are made, and then they push it to him and say, all right, work the deal, and he works the deal.
But sometimes he doesn't work the deal. Like, that's what
right.
I think that the base idea when you hear people say there's power structure change, it's like Parag and Jed now might be in more of a position to say, look, those Those finances don't work for us. And if Kyle says, no, 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 come on, push it through, they'll be like, no. But I don't know. Everyone's sort of guessing right now about this supposed power structure change.
Right. And I do think that, you know, what's happened, you can kind of read the tea leaves over certain things that have gone on, whether it's, you know, this belt tightening that has seemingly happened. And I do look at the team now reportedly having 10% be up for sale. And I don't, you know, Tim Kawakami, I asked him and he said that might be more about, you know, international soccer than it is about possibly, you know, investing in other properties here in the States.
It's all about cash, though. It's all about cash.
It is. So if your franchise is worth a reported $9 billion and you are 97% owners of it, and that's what I just saw on the internet. I don't know the exact numbers, but they are the majority owners of the team. If you put up a 10% slice for sale, you're giving up a little bit of control. You're still the controlling owner, but you're definitely going to bring in some cash. So you're looking to bring in cash, and you're looking to spend less cash in bonuses and whatnot that led you to 6-11. So I can't help but think that this does affect what they're going to pay Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there may well be that's a set aside. They may be like, look, we're doing it a different way this year. Not for the quarterback, but everywhere else. I don't know, but I'll agree with you, man. With each passing day, it feels like the draft becomes an even bigger deal. My gosh, they're going to have to go find some starters. Warriors host the Kings tonight. Means Warriors Live with Evan Giddings starts at 6, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff, and the good stuff will happen in this game. Jonathan Kuminga is returning to action, and Steph Curry is 2 threes away from 4,000. Plenty of time for your phone call still ahead. So, those of you, Sushi Steve and Jones, you stay right where you are. We're coming to you 888-957-9570. But Bob Fitzgerald's going to join us next as well as we get ready for this big Warrior game on Willard and Dibbs.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dillard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Big night at Chase Center. Big night.
Big night.
Big night.
Win the big nights.
Warriors and Kings, which is always fun. Little extra juice. Don't know yet about DeMontis Sabonis. He's been out, but he is questionable for this game tonight. So he might be making his return. I know Jonathan Kuminga's making his return. And I'm confident that Steph Curry will hit a momentous three. And also in all of that, Bob Fitzgerald is making his return to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Which
and on
is probably the biggest of all.
Easily.
Yeah,
easily.
No
doubt. And this will happen right here on the River Islands guest line. Hello, Bob. How are you?
I was hoping you guys could help me out with something.
Okay.
I saw Steph Curry speed away from Chase Center yesterday and toss out a Steinmetz, Franklin, and Marshall jersey on the street. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, we did have a conversation about whether or not it would make it out of Chase Center and which garbage can it would end up in. But it sounds like you're the one who has the clues that we should be following.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I think someone said, hey, Steph, give me a jersey, and they weren't specific enough, and he just gave him Steinmetz jersey. So if you see Franklin or Marshall rocking around Thrive City, you'll know where it happened.
It makes sense that he probably threw it into a trash can from 23 feet 9 inches, and it was, you know, absolute bottom, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Italy for the win. Very good.
That was excellent. All right, Bob, what about Kuminga tonight? What do you think this is going to look like?
Okay. Now I need you guys to just let's put our hands together in like one little team huddle.
Okay.
And everybody take a breath about Jonathan Kuminga coming back. For the love of God, he's missed 2 months. He's missed 33 games. They're 12-2. He's going to play what? You know, 6-7 minutes, a half, and you're going to ease this guy back in? I mean, come on. That's everybody take a breath here. It's like you'd think Wilt was returning or something. Like, it's great to have Kuminga. The Warriors are better. He's a dynamic player. But, talk to me 2 weeks from now when he's, you know, back in rhythm and the team's figuring out how to play with him and he's going to be in the second unit with Jimmy and all that kind of stuff. I don't expect anything spectacular tonight other than a few less minutes for a Looney or a GP2 or something like that as Steve kind of eases him back in.
Well, Bob, no, I think we're with you there. I mean it more in terms of, like, from a predictive standpoint.
Standpoint, he's going to look rusty as hell.
Well, no, I'm not just talking tonight. I mean, like, as Steve's put it to us earlier this week, he's rejoining a completely different team. So, I mean, it's fair to wonder how and in what way his game fits in.
Well, it's totally fair. I'm just teasing you guys a little bit. The difference in the different team is that with the second unit before, Kuminga was, they were running stuff through him because it was sort of like, give the ball to Kuminga, get the hell out of the way, hope he can go to the rim and get fouled, and, you know, if he's triple teamed, throw it out to Buddy Hield and he'll shoot a three or something. That was kind of the previous second unit. And so now you have Jimmy Butler as the handler and the initiator. You have Quentin Post as one of the spacers. You have Buddy Hield as one of the spacers. So now you can run two-man game with Jimmy and Kuminga. You can put Kuminga on the block. You know, when Butler and others get rebounds, Kuminga can be that one-man fast break. You know, Pajemski might play with that second unit at times. So now you have a second connector and a second ball handler. Like, JK's coming back to a way better second unit opportunity, and he should make the most of it. Just play off of Butler and do what he says and watch him and just let him spoon feed you. So the whole idea of give it to Jonathan and, you know, get out of the way and hope things work out versus now you're playing with a higher IQ unit and Quentin Post is now a factor with another floor spacer. Like, that just gives more opportunity for Kuminga to do damage getting downhill. So it's super exciting.
It is, and I can't help but think about what Steve Kerr said to us earlier this week when we had him on the show, and he talked about, you know, hustle plays and intangibles and all the other little things. Do you think that Jonathan is going to be ready to, and I know tonight's going to probably be, like you said, 12 minutes, maybe 14, whatever, but as he graduates into a more full-time role again, does he have it in his bag to contribute the way that they're going to need him to contribute?
Well, you know, that's always a different learning curve for all young guys, Dibs, is that look at how Moses Moody is playing right now. And I'm going to steal from Steinmetz, actually. You guys said both shows were so good yesterday, having Steph out of Chase and then having different guys on. He said, you know, Moses Moody previously, it was all a barometer of how well he shot threes. You know, he came in and was like, okay, if he hit threes, what a great game. And if he didn't have threes, you know, what did Moody really do tonight? Now you watch Moody. He is a demon defensively. He's Mr. DeSantos part two in terms of hustle plays. He's out there on ball defense. He'll cut without the ball and get, you know, dunks and layups from Butler, and then he'll still hit threes. But you just see Moody's minutes and like, you know what? When he's out there, stuff's productive and stuff is good. And that's what you want to see with Kuminga, is that I don't really care what his numbers look like at all. I just care if he's contributing and making winning plays. And the one area that I think is growth for him, not just this year, but just in his career, who can box out Jonathan Kuminga? Like, if this guy had an offensive rebounding mindset, my God, he could crush things on the glass. And when you see him rebound and kick in, you're like, man, that makes the Warriors doubly dangerous because he's flying in with tip follows and slams and getting fouled on loose ball situations and going in and getting rebounds and laying the ball back in or dunking. Like, those don't have to be plays or anything. That's just hustle and your own energy. And I steal from Jerry Sloan all the time. They asked my Greg Ostertag, oh, I'm not getting enough touches. We miss half our shots. Feel free to rebound and dunk any of the ones you want to. Go ahead. And that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, half the shots are going to be missed. Why is Kevon Looney such a great rebounder? Like, is he because he's such a big leaper and he's so quick? No, the guy's just relentlessly working to go after every rebound. Same thing with DeSantos. So at this juncture, everyone that's playing, play like Pajemski, play like DeSantos, play like Draymond, play like Jimmy Butler. Because when the Warriors play like that, they're tough to deal with. And that gets you excited as they kind of push for the playoffs, is that this energy level and the grit and the fortitude they're kind of playing with is exciting, and it's resulted in winning basketball.
So, Bob, like, what is the big challenge with getting the guys to do that? And I say that as a dad of teenagers who understands that people don't just do what you tell them to do. But, like, I know that Steve hammers that home to the guys. What's sort of the challenge in getting them to think more that way?
Well, I mean, that's where you have such a good staff, like with Anthony Vereen and Jacob Rubin and our development coaches, Seth Cooper, is that you don't tell guys now today as much as you show them on video. You know, if you're ever there super early, each coach has an individual warm-up guy, an individual development guy. Bruce Frazier is Steph's guy. People see Bruce all the time. But in that warm-up routine, they'll go through shooting, and they'll go through spots on the floor, and they'll go through some skill development and warm-up and just how you're feeling. Then they sit down with a laptop, and it's basically like, here's your last minutes, or here's the plays we're running. You think you're playing hard, or you think you're boxing out, or you think you're getting back on defense, or you think you're going to the glass? The video doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. And so when you show guys that, if you have any kind of competitor within you and you have any kind of personal ethos of wanting to be a winner, if the video isn't what you think you're doing, then you better ramp it up. You know, and I think that's the – and you find out. I mean, you see guys that are super competitive, and the super competitive guys are winners. You know, 90% of life is showing up, but 90% of sports is playing to max effort. And that's the one thing with Kuminga coming back. It's another part of a deeper team where you can play with max effort. And if you're worn out, there's another warrior to check in for you. And you see GP2 playing so well. Buddy Hield has games where he's up and down, right? But the other night, Buddy Hield sprinting all the time opened up the Warriors' floor game, and then Buddy was making shots, and Buddy himself had 7 assists. The one thing with Buddy Hield, good, bad, or indifferent, he always is playing hard. he's the first guy sprinting every single time, and that's part of what you need to do all the time. So that's where Kuminga, I think, can fit in, is, hey, these guys aren't playing at 35 miles an hour anymore. These Warriors are winning. They're getting chased by teams in the playoff spot. They've moved from the 10th spot up to the 6th spot. Like, there's no time for missteps right now. Two or three losses in a row, and you're back in the play-in tournament, like at 9 or 10. And that's why tonight, the Knicks, Denver, Milwaukee, like this stretch right now, this is going to be pretty rugged in the next couple of days.
No doubt, Fitz. And, you know, you're right now in a flat tie with Minnesota. You're percentage points ahead, but the margin for error is almost non-existent. But when you look at this team and you've got 17 more to go and hopefully a long playoff run, what about this team right now makes you wonder if it's going to be good enough to really advance deep?
Well, I think you phrased it perfectly, and if you watch Denver and Minnesota last night, you got a good look at what the West is if you're not named OKC. OKC, Cleveland, and Boston are in a different plane, okay? So let's just leave them aside. Memphis, Houston, Lakers, Minnesota, Denver, Warriors, Clippers, they could all beat each other. And so the scenario I look at is 3-6 matchup or 4-5 or whatever. The Warriors go on the road and they split the first two in Memphis, or split the first two in Denver, or split the first two in Houston. That will give them a chance where, wait a minute, they're 1-1 coming back to chase, and it seems like we have to beat Steph Curry and Draymond and Jimmy Butler four times in the remaining games and stuff. Like, that's the puncher's chance the Warriors have. And then if you can get there, you meet a team that's on a different plane right now in OKC, and then you gotta, you know, who's healthy, someone rolls an ankle, something's different, Steph has a 56-point game, like, you know, that's the choice. But there's no, you throw a blanket over six teams in the West and tell me this team beat this team or this team beat the other team, nothing is going to be surprising as close as these games are right now.
That's interesting. Okay, so you set aside OKC, but is anyone else in your mind like a matchup that you'd kind of like to avoid if you could in round one?
No interest in playing the Lakers in round one.
Yep.
None.
Even with Anthony Davis gone, like, he was the guy that was such a tough matchup for them.
Okay, now let's, you know, just the three of us talking here.
Let's do it.
Let's all live in the real world. Have you seen the officiating when it involves the Lakers with LeBron James and Luka Doncic in games that matter?
Tell us about it.
I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of that.
That's an interesting way to put it.
That's interesting. You know, I mean, it's like, LeBron has the PA announcer foul him and shoot two free throws in a game. Like, what happens to Steph where he's treated as a pinata, but then if you have a bad breath foul in the Lakers, Austin Reeves is going to the line again. Like, I'm sorry, I want no part of that in the playoffs early on.
Bob, why is that?
You'll deal with it if you have to. But
no, but beyond the obvious, if we sound like homers here, whatever. Like, why would Steph Curry not garner the same protection that LeBron James gets?
But it's not protection per se. It's reputation, and then Steph has never been, and Clay wasn't either, what you call a foul baiter. You know, where I'm going to snap my head back like James Harden, or I'm going to bump into somebody and act like I'm electrocuted and fall down and stuff. I mean, Steph plays basketball, you know, but the difference is, off the ball, guys bear hug Steph Curry all day, every day, and that should be a foul all day, every day, and it never is. And why you're allowed to hug him and grab him and hold him all the time versus the level of contact that's not allowed for a lot of other, quote, superstars, I have no idea. I just know now that he's 26 all-time in scoring and 25,000 points and has the fewest free throws of any other elite scorer in the history of the sport. So, you know, it's not because he doesn't drive, by the way. It's not because he doesn't go in the lane.
Yeah.
You know, go back to the three hit against New Orleans, you know, in the first championship run. And Anthony Davis lands like a building on top of him. That's not an and-one made three? Like, what are they looking at half the time?
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, when he goes to the basket, Bob, the way that he draws contact is such that referees are more likely to just let it go because he is more slight of build, and like you said, he doesn't snap his head back. And I just was looking at the all-time list, and he's 123rd all-time in free throw attempts. He just passed Kevin Love, which, good for him.
Yeah, I just think for Steph, it's been something, and it's, you know, the whether he's fouled shooting and this and that is one thing. Just tonight or any other night, or if you happen to get to a game, watch Steph Curry off the ball and just watch him be absolutely mugged and held and bumped and knocked around all the time. And there's no other guy in the league that is treated that way. None. And if you wanted to, you could call four team fouls on the first six possessions when a team's trying to guard Steph Curry. Hmm. But that would be really bad basketball, and we'd have what we had the other night against Detroit with 59 fouls and 77 free throws, and wouldn't be that artistic. But, you know, you'll see Steph, I mean, like, look at the Brooklyn game where he got the intentional offensive foul. He did that because you had him. I don't know what Brooklyn was doing the first 8 minutes of that game, but they're just bouncing them all over the place, and Brooklyn played the first 12 minutes without being called for a single foul. The whole team. Shockingly, the Warriors were down 20.
Yeah.
Then they, you know, then basketball resumed, and then the Warriors won the game. But, you know, I'm just saying, teams are going to foul him until they're penalized. It's what it's what Nick Saban did with Alabama's offensive line in the playoffs. I'm going to hold every play until they throw a holding penalty. And if you can play Steph that way and it's not called, why would you stop? That's the whole issue. You know, his biggest scoring game was against Portland when he had 62. What was different about that game? He shot 18 free throws in that game.
Yep.
You know, but he doesn't have games like that. But if he was having 10, 11 free throws a game, if he was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Harden or Luka or these guys, Steph would average 35 points a game, especially since he's a 93% free thrower.
Bob, great stuff. Great stuff. And Warriors and Kings tonight will be a really, really fun one. The homestand gets really juicy the rest of the way. So looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Always good to hear you.
And if we find the guy with the Steinmetz Franklin and Marshall jersey, do we turn it in? Do we pay the guy off? Do we take it for ourselves? What do we do with it?
Yeah, I think a selfie and then dealer's choice after that.
Hey, when are we going to Splash? You guys got to buy drinks. Let's
Next Thursday doing our show leading into the game against the Raptors. Come early and get some nachos.
Wait a minute. Kalen and Fitz are liquored up at Splash pregame. Is that going to be the storyline?
At least nachoed up. I mean, that's legal, isn't it?
All right, guys. Have fun tonight. Great hearing your voice.
All right.
Right on, Fitz. Yeah.
Thanks, Fitz. There he goes. Yep. Bob Fitzgerald with us right here on Willard and Dibbs. And, I mean, it's interesting what he's getting loose on there. I don't really, quite frankly, I don't understand it. I mean, I understand the idea that they, you know, they want watchability. Nobody wants to make it a foul fest and a constant trip to the free throw line. I've always sort of stood down on this point because I'm a Warrior fan, and so I don't want it to sound like every fan does, where you're always screaming about the refs. But I do buy part of what he's saying. I don't think there's any other superstar in the league that's officiated the way Steph Curry is.
And I do think that in the off-the-ball stuff, he's right. And, you know, I don't go to every single game to watch him off the ball, but all you have to do is watch the game and you see how many times he's bumped and held and clutched and grabbed and all the rest of it. And just looking at the raw numbers of it, he's got 25,000 points now, which is top 30 or something all time. Yet when you look at the free throw list, he is, as I mentioned, 123rd, and James Harden is a guy who's had a great long career, and I don't know if he has more points than Steph in his career. He might, and he's got 27,000, so he's a little bit ahead of Steph,
yep.
And he is all-time in free throw attempts. He's eighth, like James Harden, because of the flopping and because of the snapping of the head back.
The snapping of the head thing, it just...
And LeBron is third all-time in free throw attempts, but that's fine, I get it. And he is a guy who, you know, invokes contact, and he makes it so you have to call. And I do think that's part of it with Steph. When he drives and he goes to the hoop, a lot of times he's fading away and he's going away from contact because he's only 6'3". And I get that, but it doesn't mean when he gets bumped that he shouldn't get the foul call, but he doesn't get the same whistle as other superstars for sure.
888-957-9570 is the number. Greg Cosell's going to join us in a half hour and break down not just Mac Jones, but a lot of the other departing 49ers. Were they actually declining? How have they been playing? What does he think about this reboot or whatever you want to call it? So we'll get to that in a little bit. Irv in Berkeley is next up. Hi, Irv. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to ask a question about Moses Brown, a center that's been kind of bounced around. He's 7'2", kind of athletic. He is playoff eligible. Do you think the Warriors would look to get him?
Moses Brown, is this the he with the Mavericks?
No, he's off that team. I found that out earlier by listening to Kendrick Perkins. He said that if the Warriors or Lakers were to get him, that boosts them both up.
I just pulled him up because you brought him up. I got him in the G League right now. So, Irv, I am not going to claim to know a damn thing about him. And I also don't think in general there's anybody in the G League right now that's going to have much to say about the way the playoffs play out. You know what I mean?
Okay. That was all, but I think Kuminga come in and fit in well. I think he'll feed off of Jimmy Butler.
Irv, thanks, man. Appreciate it very much. All right, there goes Irv. I don't know much about. Do you know Moses Brown?
Don't know a lot about him. Okay. I know that he was on Dallas earlier, and now he's playing for the Westchester Knicks in the G League.
Okay,
and I'm just looking at some quick research, and he had 28 the other night in the G League. So I don't know if that means he is part of the New York Knicks, where you'd have to somehow have them cut him to acquire him?
I think it's Brooklyn Nets. Well, you do have options. There's a way to, you know, an option to kind of sign players off of the G League. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What are we talking about here?
Right.
Somebody in the G League who's,
He's really tall.
He's very tall.
Yeah.
He is very, very tall. Yeah. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. We're here for you, here for good. Greg Cosell in a half hour. Here's what, you know what I think we'd like to do next. Like, I mean, we've been sitting here talking about, inspired by Kuminga's return and the signing of Mac Jones, like who you'd be more comfortable signing up to a long-term extension, Brock Purdy or Jonathan Kuminga. But what I'm really gathering from a lot of listeners and the response that we're getting on Twitter and whatnot is just this general discomfort about everything that has happened with the San Francisco 49ers this week. So let's dive into it a little further. And here's what I think we want to ask everybody. This is an opportunity for you leading into Greg Cosell, who's going to play out the X's and O's for you. Niner fans, how do you feel right now based on what your team has done this week? How is this making you feel? Let's get to that. We'll take your calls right now. 888-957-9570. What emotions have come up based on what the Niners have done or not done this week? 888-957-9570. That's the number. A little bit over an hour. We'll get to 5 o'clock, and that's when the best seat in the house package is going to be given away, so make sure you're with us for that. On Willard and Dips.
Everybody take a breath. For the love of God.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah. My guy, Mark Willard. It's not often that I bring us back, and you are listening to Wheeler and Dibs here at 95.7 The Game, but it's not often that I envy you.
Dude,
I'm not a very jealous man.
What is going on here?
I'll tell you what's going on, Fitz. If you just chill, Fitz. Just you chill.
You don't need to hide.
For the love of God.
You don't need to hide what we're talking about. It's not a secret.
Oh.
It's not a secret. You can.
Which part? I mean, it's your life. It's your business.
Okay.
But
this conversation started because the lovely Christy just brought her daughter to the pet shop Like, they've been talking about getting a cat. Her youngest daughter wants a cat.
Okay.
Her oldest daughter's about to leave for college. She's going to be the only kid left in the house. She's like, I think I'm going to need a cat.
Yeah.
And she wore her down. And then today, very, like, just...
purr of the moment.
Extemporaneously. Very good. That's a four.
Grandy hated it.
No, that was good.
Thank you.
Purr of the moment.
Thank you. I like it.
She took her out of school and went, I found a cat. And they went and got a cat. And I'm getting this flow of pictures right now. They went and got a cat. And I asked Dibs, I go, what do you think the cat's name is? It's a boy.
Yeah.
What do you think the cat's name is? He literally got it on the second try. I gave no clues. Grandy, you want to try? What do you think the cat's name is?
Oh, God, I have no
clue. Give it a shot.
I had no clue either.
I got nothing.
My first guess was Purdy.
Purdy.
Yeah.
Purdy.
Kind of works.
Yeah. And I said, you're actually warm. You're in the ballpark. Second guess?
Debo.
Correct.
Wow.
Debo. And this is not a brand new cat. Like, the cat comes with a name. It's spelled differently.
Oh.
So for a minute, I'm like, is the cat's name Dibbo? Because that's going to be a problem for our show. All right? We're not going Willard and Dibbo.
Right.
So the cat's name is Debo. So I texted her. I said, hey, look, Debo's back in the Bay.
Nice.
Let's go. And then you said something
right.
that took the conversation in a different direction.
Grandy, what I said, and this is for the audience, I said, well, you guys are engaged, so basically you just got a cat. Because she gets a cat, you got a cat.
Yeah, and you said, shouldn't you be consulted
totally.
As to whether or not you get a cat?
Right.
And I said, no, because we're like at least still a solid 3 years away from living with one another.
So getting married, but not living together. And that's when I said, God, I envy you. I've never been jealous of Mark before. I'm not a jealous guy. I don't believe in envy or regret. But in this moment, I'm like, you sly SOB. Turns out he didn't get a cat. The Lovely got a cat.
Uh-huh.
And Arden got a cat. Good yep. for them.
Yeah, good for them.
You don't even have to pet the damn thing for 3 years.
The cat's name is Debo.
Great.
I don't need to pet it, but I do need when I walk into the house, I'm going to be like, Debo!
Totally.
Yeah, Debo! Every time. They're going to hate me because I'm never going to not be able to do that.
I am ready to go.
Let's go! I might actually show up at their house with a boombox.
I was going to say, like, you got to come up with, like,
on it.
Full of catnip. Something, you know? Nah. Debo's going to go crazy for that whole thing.
No comment on that.
Yeah, we've got 1,000 kids. We're not living together right away.
All right.
So, I
get it.
Married and 2 homes.
Genius.
It's happening.
I mean, genius.
And you said it's unheard of.
Well.
And I said it's forward thinking.
And then I followed it up with, it's brilliant. And now my phone, I'm getting text messages and I'm afraid to look. Maybe you want to be like Mark. Pack your things.
Sometimes I dream.
You better be careful.
There's a locksmith in my house when I get home. Yeah, it's a bad sign.
Oh, God.
You talk. I need to check this.
Debo. Yeah, man. All right. That was fun. Yeah. Okay, who was it?
That's March Madness.
Okay.
Sending the states in a barn
burner.
Are
you getting texts from your bookie or something?
No, I got a
bookie,
group.
Bookie.
The group I go to Vegas with, we've been doing like the, because it's now a week from today.
Yeah, it's a week from today.
And y'all, a lot of them are San Diego residents, and the Aztecs are in a real barn burner.
Oh, locked in one with Boise State.
And it's a bubble game. Loser probably doesn't make the tourney, so there's a lot of angst around San Diego. But anyway.
And San Diego State, man, it's like after the last couple of years, how could you, I mean, yes, root for your team, but this is a little less exciting than 2 years ago. They were national championship game.
And just one more quick aside before we go to the phones.
Yeah.
And I had to look it up to remember, but NC State was in the Final Four last year.
Oh, if you had asked me.
I mean, I could have given you 100 guesses.
I could have
given you the 3 teams.
Shout out DJ Burns.
I don't know if I know any of the teams who were in the Final Four.
Well, Purdue with that big stiff.
I know NC State. Oh, Zach Edey.
Zach Edey, he brought his team. They went to the finals.
Who? I don't even know who won the.
UConn.
Your
boy, Danny Hurley went back to back.
Okay, that's right.
And then Purdue and then NC State.
I remember this stuff when you remind me, but
exactly.
If you just flat-footed, you're like, who was in the Final Four last year? I'm like, oh my God.
And I could not remember NC State because I was going through last year's bracket. I'm doing a little research project on like mid-major teams and how they did because I want to know, like.
Who was that assigned to you by?
Myself. And The answer is of the 25 smaller conferences, because there's 31 conferences, there's the six bigs, and I put the WCC in there because they have Gonzaga and St. Mary's.
Okay.
Of the other 25 conferences, they went a combined 5-20 last year in the first round. So we all want to talk about Cinderellas, but Cinderella don't dance, usually. Last year they went 5-20.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know for my own sake, like, how they did. And, which teams actually won.
Do you want to know why I haven't won? I haven't won a tournament bracket in years because I refuse to be chalky enough.
Right.
I'm not chalky enough. Like, you're right. Everybody just like, who are the upsets? It's like there aren't enough to win your pool. You're going to...
Right.
Like, just be boring. Be more boring with your picks is my advice.
Just be less wild.
Like, yes.
We all want to go crazy.
I mean.
But it's not always the chalk. Like, NC State, they probably were a 6 or 7 seed.
Yeah.
So you just need to find the right ones. But we all want to look at the 13 seed and, dream. They're going to dance. They're going to dance. And the 12 beats the 5 a lot, but the 12 doesn't usually then beat the 4. Like,
right.
Because it's the 4-5, and if you beat the 5, then you play the 4, and usually the 4 is going to whoop you. So just you better be careful.
Better be careful.
I'll have more next week.
All right. Look, Greg Cosell is going to join us in 20 minutes. And I guess maybe we all should come up with a word. I'll come up with a word. How the 49ers have made me feel this week? Confused. Not panicked yet. Like
Today was the day.
I know. Well, I said tonight, and I didn't say that I would panic. I said that I would get some level of concern, and I'm there. I don't understand what's happening in the trenches. It's interesting. I'm not bothered by the releases. I'm really not. I don't think anybody has left where a smart person couldn't sit down and go, well, here's why we did that. I bet the 49ers could explain themselves very well without being like, well, I just like money, so I decided to keep it. Like, I mean, yeah, right. maybe that's what the Yorks are doing. But I think that, even though I love Dre Greenlaw, a smart person can sit there and go, well, we're really concerned about his legs. And I'm like, okay, I hear that. So, like, we didn't want to do $35 million in a 3-year commitment for somebody who tore an Achilles and came back for 2 games and got hurt in both of them, too. I don't think that's crazy. It's hard. It's not crazy. What I don't understand is... Where's the cavalry? Where are the replacements for all of these people who you can explain to me why they're leaving? So I'm confused and open to the idea that it's temporary, but I am temporarily confused.
Yeah, the word I would use would be disappointed. I'm disappointed, and you're right about the exodus of these players, and you could look at each one, and you could say, well, it's because of this, and he's getting too much, and he's got bad legs, and this and that, and you can go line item, and you can explain all of it. Yeah, fine, and it's their business, but I get to that other part that you were talking about, which is the replacement. Where's the cavalry? And I don't see... even a horse, let alone a collection. He's a horse. I don't see even a collection of players the plan for me, as I look at it from the outside looking in, is we're going to draft our butts off, and then that's going to be cool. Then we're going to bring in some undrafted free agents, and we're going to hit on those, and we're going to have this really new young team that you're all going to love.
I mean, I'm saying that as somebody who does, I trust the process. I really do. I trust their process. I think they're a good regime. But, dude, they got their own beat reporters out in these streets a week ago being like, I think their plan is to pair Leonard Floyd and Joey Bosa. And then they're like, actually, we're not going to sign Joey Bosa, and we're going to get rid. They did. They paired Leonard Floyd and Joey Bosa. They sent them both out. They didn't offer one, and they cut the other. So now they're paired together. Leonard can go back to Buffalo if he wants. But, like, okay, so who is the other defensive end?
Right.
Who are the defensive tackles? I have no idea. And I know there are a few still somewhat interesting names out there. And then there's a draft, and it's supposed to be a wonderful defensive tackle draft. So maybe that is their plan. But, that's a scary one. That's a scary one.
Yeah.
It's a wait and see game, but in this moment I'm confused. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.